You're going to turn this over on down, sir.
Yes. So, start number 5 for Radio Free Cybertron, October 21st, 2009. It's the 10-year plus 1 week anniversary show. I am, as usual, Brian Kilby. With me, I have the usual RSC crew, JDXV, Rob, John DeLuna. Is Chris here? No. Turin? No. That's it. We have too many people here. We need to have, like, an elimination tournament, UFC style.
Ultimate fighting.
Bring it!
That'd be pretty sweet. Okay, so I want to first remind everyone, if you didn't listen to our 10th anniversary show, it's up there. It's on the blog, tfradio.net. Go listen to that, because Transformers the Movie Part 4 is finally done, and it was really fun. Also, a little bit of plugging, we have the Radio Free Cybertron Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen fan commentary track up as well. That does not go with the DVD that has the IMAX footage added back into it. It's the standard DVD. So XV really wants to go back and recut that with the IMAX footage, but I don't know that I can stand to watch any more Revenge of the Fallen. We have a packed show already this week, so we want to go ahead and get started with Today in History. Go ahead, JD, start that off.
Yeah, so, well, not today so much as October 23rd, and it apparently is birthday day in the voice actor world for Transformers. So on October 23rd, 1926, Stan Jones, who played Scourge and Zarek, his birthday was that day. Is he still alive? No idea. I should have researched that. 1959.
He sounded old.
Yeah,
he didn't sound healthy.
No. That sounds like a long time ago.
And his voice wasn't flanged.
Yeah. But Weird Al's birthday is also on the 23rd, and he'll be 50. Oh, that's terrifying.
Wow.
Last but certainly not least, David Soboloff, 1964. And, of course, he played Depth Charge in Beast Wars. So three birthdays from three different eras of Transformers, if you will, since Weird Al. Well, I mean, Weird Al was Wreck-Gar in animated.
Yeah,
so.
And you can also... We wouldn't have Transformers. Transformers the movie soundtrack would utterly suck if it wasn't for Dare to Be Stupid. We can all agree with that.
Which mm-hmm. Which was the only, non-original track, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's the only listenable track.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
Didn't Stan Bush say The Touch was originally recorded for, like, Rambo or something?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah,
he said it was like an interview with, I think, Sci-Fi, their website or something. It was recorded for a Stallone movie originally and got...
Over the top.
Oh.
You
got the touch. I turned my hat around backwards. Oh, it does, Arnold. You got the touch.
Awesome.
That would have been so great.
Oh.
I have that on DVD. I'm going to have to go watch that now. Okay, so this day, well, I guess is 2 days away, really, is the birth dates of Stan Jones, Weird Al Yankovic, and David Soboloff. So we've got news going on this week, as
he
every
is
week.
Dead. Stan Jones is dead. So there you go.
That sucks.
Breaking news.
Breaking. Just this. This just.
Annihilate them.
He's been dead for almost 10 years. So there you go.
That sucks.
It does
for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, for all of us. I mean, Zarek had one of my most quotable lines from Transformers at the end of Rebirth. What was it? We shall see Galvatron.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I quote that all the time. The news this week, one bit of important news, too, but for most people listening, is probably this.
Give me your faith.
Transformers 2,
give me your faith.
Revenge of the Fallen. Sorry, I had to do that again.
Twice.
Yeah, I love that. Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen was released on DVD, and I don't know if it'll have the same blockbuster sales that the movie had when it was in the theater, but we shall see Galvatron. We shall see.
Nice. But, I like how you tied that. That was very nice. You tied the two together. Really
I am good. A professional. So, JDXV and I, of course, we have our copy. We were up and out picking that up at midnight on Monday evening. So I know that Rob later on has a bit where he was actually at Best Buy. He wasn't actually picking up a copy. He wanted the Target copy, but he did want to get some.
Which I still haven't got.
You haven't gotten it yet?
No, I've got to wait till I get my check. So I'll probably like tomorrow afternoon if they got any more of those Bumblebee cases.
Oh, I need to go to Target to get that. I want that as well because I had to go to Walmart because I, you know, only have a Walmart locally. But did everyone else get their copy? I guess that means John. Did you get your copy?
No, I ordered it on Amazon, so I think it's probably like in the apartment office as I talk. But I'll have it within like 24 hours.
That's awesome.
I guarantee.
That came out on DVD, and I know a lot of people were excited about that, especially for the new footage. And Amanda, JD's wife, is excited for more Mudflap and Skids.
Yes. She loves them. I don't know. I can't, you know.
But
somebody
yeah.
has to.
Once you have your copy, go to, upon second viewing, I mean, unless you want to on the first viewing, you can watch along. It's like watching along with us. It's JD, his wife Amanda, XV, and I. We all screened the movie, and we added our commentary, and it is available for download at tfradio.net. Also, JD, the news. Tell us about the rumor. Not rumor. It's actually news. Hasbro stated this about the new series.
Yeah. So at one of their basically was on one of their.
Sorry.
Get right on that.
You're not sorry.
It was on basically one of their conference calls. They had mentioned that, or at least they had hinted at the fact that they're going to be pushing Transformers, G.I. Joe, and My Little Pony into series in 2010. So, I mean, it's not necessarily like it's a huge bit of news.
That is huge.
Well, I mean, not really when you consider that we know that the Hasbro channel is coming out. So they're obviously going to be developing material for that, and their three flagship brands are My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, and Transformers as far as their, you know, their own properties. So, I mean, and that's why I say I don't think it's shocking, but it was just hinted at. We should get a full disclosure November 5th during their regular investor event. So hopefully we'll know more at that time. So, I mean, it's sort of in the rumorish bin just because we don't know any more other than there's going to be a series, which, like I say, it's sort of new, sort of not, because it's expected, but, you know, it's still like confirmation of what we want to know.
So, going off topic just a hair, would we think that the upcoming G.I. Joe series is going to be based off of the movie or based off of Resolute or a new branch entirely? What would you think?
Oh, I don't want a Resolute series.
I mean, I don't want either, but if I had to pick one of the two, I mean, it would be Resolute now after watching the movie.
I would assume that they're going to go off of probably similar to what they did with Animated, which was sort of a completely different storyline, but probably incorporating some of the concepts from, you know, from some of the films. I mean, the film didn't do that great, so there's not necessarily a high incentive for them to do something along those lines. And Resolute, I think, it harkens too much back to the original line, which is, I don't think, the direction they're wanting to necessarily go with that either, so...
I'll be disappointed if they don't. I mean, while Transformers has always been something new and exciting, G.I. Joe, ever since A Real American Hero basically died in the late 90s, every time they've resurrected it, it's been a branch of A Real American Hero. And that's what I love. If they don't go in that direction, I'll be greatly disappointed.
Maybe we can get a revival of G.I. Joe Extreme.
That would be great, too.
Yes. Got to get tough, Joe, tough.
That says
so
it
like
all right
the
there.
Over muscly G.I. Joe, is that what that was? The
played by Chuck
sort of the Johnny No Neck sort of version of G.I. Joe.
Well, it was extreme.
So both of our G.I. Joe fans are really excited about this conversation, but anyway. Yeah.
The latest round of Hasbro Q&A answers came in, and Action Figure Insider got a real interesting answer to one of their questions.
What is it?
Well, see, you do this, and I don't have the thing in front of me.
Question
okay.
Three. What other Masterpiece Transformers will be available in the U.S. after Skywarp Walmart exclusive? We are pleased to announce that the next Masterpiece item will be Grimlock in 2010. We're excited to be able to offer this item within the U.S., and we'll certainly share more details as we get closer to releasing him. Well,
and the
crap.
Only thing I have to say about that is I hope it has the crown with it.
Oh, that would be great.
I don't care about the apron or the drink tray. I want the crown.
I want the apron and the drink tray, but I will take the crown as well.
Well, I mean, for me, the comics Grimlock is basically the Grimlock for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I got a really weird view of Generation 1 as a whole that I don't really think is it's not worth getting into right now, but for any serious purposes, yeah, it's Marvel Comics Grimlock that I think of first.
Okay, cool. The Transformers Matrix box set is also coming out, and I don't care. I really don't.
You're talking about the full series? That's already out, isn't it? It was at our Best Buy.
It came out Tuesday, didn't it?
I thought it had to have come out last Tuesday.
If your Best Buy
it was at our Best Buy this weekend, yeah.
We didn't do news last week.
Well, there
no,
you go.
No, we didn't.
We're catching up. The news last week was us.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's out. It's overpriced. So yeah, go buy it.
How much is it?
$130. Too much.
$130.
You know, compared to the Rhino release, I mean, that's probably a good deal. But you know, I don't care at this point. I've watched it enough where I don't have to own it on DVD again. Give me your face. Sorry, I'm gonna annoy everybody with that.
I never should have made that for you.
No, you should. I'll be doing this at work tomorrow, and people call in. I mean, give me your face.
That should go over well at your job.
Yeah, my job would
be
awesome.
It would be much better if instead of that you did, ho, Dinobot.
Ho, Dinobot. But, you know, there's like three people listening who get that. Everyone gets give me your face. It's relevant. Okay, I guess, is that it for the news this week?
I think that's the good stuff.
Yeah, nobody cares about the
stuff. Other stuff happened.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go ahead, take a quick break. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes. We are going to be joining Rob from his
roving report
to Best Buy on Tuesday morning. Not the store, but the release. Midnight. Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen.
Hey, this is Rob with Radio Free Cybertron. And I'm driving. Sorry if I sound vacant. I'm on my way to Best Buy. My local Best Buy is having a midnight release sale for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. The DVD, everyone knows, comes out tomorrow. And they're doing sort of a midnight pre-release, whatever. And I thought I'd go here and, you know, maybe do a roving report and cover people coming out at midnight to buy a DVD. It sounded much more interesting when I was thinking it up. This Best Buy I'm pulling into used to be a media play, and this media play used to do a lot of midnight release parties for movies where they'd have, like, you know, a real good time, like people in costumes and would come in and they'd have snacks. And I remember, like, one time they had a Halo party, and it was just, like, nothing but Halo multiplayer till like, 6 in the morning. You know, real fun stuff. And this is the Best Buy in its location. I can only hope they kind of do the same. I'm not holding my breath, but I don't see a lot of people out here right now, but, you know, I'm a little early. It's about maybe 10 minutes to 12, so let me just pause this while I head to the store. I don't want to hear you guys listen to me grunt getting out of my car. All right, I'm inside the store now, and nobody's here, like, at all. Like, apparently, Monday night was not the best night to do one of these, but I see the Transformers display over there. You know, maybe I'm just early. I'm going to go over there and just kind of park myself by it and hope someone comes in. You know, maybe I can get stuff for the show here. I feel actually kind of bad. I'm out here this night. I'm not actually planning to buy the DVD tonight. I want it, but I kind of want the Target Bumblebee case version. I mean, this Optimus Prime head's really nice, but, you know, I really like the Optimus case from the last movie that Target had. And I'm kind of kicking myself for not getting the Megatron one that Walmart did about a year or so ago, because, you know, as far as DVD cases, all you really get is a box or special editions, but, you know, you got a box that transforms into a really flat robot. Well, that's just already more than a box. You make it stomp around on your other DVDs. Like, screw you, Universal Soldier, I hate you. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, at least I did. You make Optimus say, give me your face, and you can, like, team up with your Hellraiser DVD. Give me your face, and Jesus wept. Give me your face, Jesus wept. Sit here and wait for a little bit. Maybe some people will show up. The store doesn't look like they're really interested in doing this either. Their lights are kind of dim in here, and there's no signage or anything. In fact, you can tell they probably, it's the last thing they want to do. They'd rather go home. But apparently corporate told them to open up early, so got a manager up front staring at me angrily, wishing I'd buy a movie instead of hanging on the side of the thing, just kind of chilling out. Most of the employees look like they're back in the video game section, taking turns playing Guitar Hero. Well, you know what? I don't want to suck up my phone's battery here. Yeah, I'm actually recording this on my cell phone. But, yeah, let me pause this for a while till someone comes in here. It's about maybe 4 minutes to 12. We'll see. All right. Well, hey, all right. Looks like someone's finally coming through the door. Yeah, it's a slightly scraggly-looking dude. He is walking in. He just kind of nodded to the manager, and he's going straight to the bathroom. So maybe after he came, maybe after he comes after the bathroom, he'll come buy himself a DVD. I mean, why else would you be here at midnight, really? Unless he ran out of ink cartridges for his printer and forgot about Walmart. Or maybe he just really wants a Jonas Brothers CD at midnight. I don't know, but I'm going to hang out here. All right, it's been a few minutes. No one else is coming to the store. That guy's still in the bathroom. I wonder if he came here literally just to use the bathroom like he was driving on the road and had to go to the bathroom and decided he'd rather use the bathroom at Best Buy than the BP station there at the red light. You know, we can't really fault him for that. I'd rather use the bathroom in a retail store than a gas station. Cleaner, I would imagine. You know what, I think I'm going to go ask him right now if he's planning to buy the movie. I'm getting pretty bored sitting here, so I'm going to head my way back to the bathroom. I'm going to pause this, and, yeah. Well, I'm in the bathroom here, Best Buy, and just what I thought, that guy is in there taking a dump. He is. He's not saying anything. I guess I can't blame him. I mean, he's coming here to take a dump, and here's some guy bothering him. Got some dirty shoes on, too. Might want to, when you get done taking a dump, think about stopping by the 24-hour Walmart and get you some shoe cleaner or something. I was like, excuse me, sir. Are you here for the Transformers DVD midnight release party? Or are you here just taking a dump at Best Buy at midnight? Hello? I know you can hear me. He's not answering me. Oh, my God, it seems so bad here. He's not answering me, so I'm... Tell you what, I'll be out here in the store. Just let me know, okay? All right, I'm gonna get the hell out of here. You, sir, have just got revenge on me for bothering you. Whew, Jesus. Wow. Well, I'm back here at the Transformers movie display. And while I was in the bathroom, I don't think anyone's bought any DVDs because it looks like none are missing. Oh, the dude's coming out of the bathroom now. Maybe he... Oh, he looks mad. You know what? I'm going to hide. I'm going to hide right now because I don't want to have to explain to the cops why some guy beat me up at Best Buy in the middle of the night. So I'm going to hide. Oh, wait, I just realized he doesn't know what I look like. So maybe if I go down this aisle here out of view, because I don't think he sees me. Oh, he's looking at the employees playing a Guitar Hero over... Oh, I think I get it. I think I get it. One of the guys, I think he has sort of a... Yeah, he's kind of being a little obnoxious about beating someone, and I guess his voice sounded enough like... Oh, I guess he's got deep... I just noticed he's got sneakers that don't look too unlike mine either. Not completely the same, but I guess enough for the guy to think that's me. And he going to the manager. Holy crap, I just got this kid in trouble. He's at the manager. Oh, he is mad. He's like, you know, like when people get really mad, they start shaking their head around in anger when they're telling people about how mad they are. He's pissed. I'd be pissed too. I mean, just trying to take a dump and someone starts bothering me about. Well, the manager's shaking his head. He's guy's leaving. Oh, the manager's motioning over for the guy to come talk to him. Looks like they're arguing a little bit. And it looks like I guess he gave the kid something stinky to do for punishment. I don't know, like, this kid looks kind of sour-faced and he's storming off. You know, it's pretty stupid of them, too, because they're all wearing khakis, and I'm wearing jeans. So if the guy was really that observant to notice our shoes, he would have noticed the bottoms of my pants didn't look the same either. I don't know. But this is a lot better than sitting around waiting for someone to buy this DVD. I'm now certain the manager thinks I'm trying to shoplift. It's been a few minutes. He's staring at me. And, he's staring at me because I'm kind of aimlessly looking at CDs. What CD am I even looking at here? Oh, the Jonas Brothers. Yeah, dude, I'm stealing Jonas Brothers CDs instead of buying the movie that kept you up all night. Though I do need to be shifty, yeah. Hey, do you guys got the new Transformers movie? Yeah, Transformers Revenge of the Jedi or something? Oh, sorry, thanks. I'm such a jerk. Okay, it's about maybe 20 minutes after 12, and I'm getting really bored. Kind of regretting this. I think the guy's really pissed off at me now, and I don't really blame him either. Guess I can't. I'm going to go buy something and go home. I think I owe it to him to at least buy something, being the only customer they've really had in here. Well, I mean, one of the only customers, the other guy just took a dump. He might have bought something if that bastard kid didn't mess with him. That kid's got red hair, too, like really curly red hair, like Danny Bonaducci or whatever. He looks so mad. He's over there sweeping by the washing machines now. All right, well, I'm back in my car. I'm heading out. Manager was surprisingly nice to me when I checked out, too. I guess he realized I was just wasting some time, whatever. I mean, maybe it happens regularly at these midnight things. I don't know. He didn't look happy that the only thing I bought was like a pack of Starburst and a bottle of Mountain Dew. But I'm telling you, it's good Mountain Dew. It's just what I wanted. Car's warmed up pretty good now. I'm going to head on home. This is your roving RFC reporter, Rob. And back to you, Brian, and JD, and XV, and John, and possibly Chris, maybe Turin, and back to me as well.
So, Rob, that was awesome. I really want to get you out on the street more and get more of those hard-edge reports like that. That was awesome. Okay, so just briefly, we just want to come back and mention that we are going to Turin here in a moment with his review of Transformers Animated. A lot of people out there have not yet watched Animated. So we're going to have some spoiler-free, mostly, reviews of Animated as Turin watches the show with a fresh pair of eyes. And we'll get his impressions along the way. This really is an invitation for, you know, those people out there who have not yet watched Animated to do so because it's phenomenal. And we'll see what Turin thinks after this.
This is Turin. If you will recall from my bit on the show a couple of weeks ago, I've never actually seen Transformers Animated up until now. I watched about a half of an episode once. I unfortunately have read a couple of spoilers while perusing TVTropes.org, but I really know nothing about the show. Upon Brian's advice that it was a really good show and the best Transformers series that we had ever gotten, I decided to go ahead and get it on DVD. So I went to Amazon and I ordered Season 1 and Season 2 on DVD. Sat down to watch Season 1 when it arrived, and it seemed interesting, but it found it a little weird that there was no origin stories for anything. There's just these Transformers, and they're just on Earth, and there's this little girl that's their friend, and it was right about that point in the show that I went back on the internet and looked around and discovered that even though the DVD says season one, it doesn't include the first three episodes of the show, which they release under a different DVD called Transform and Roll Out. So I go back to Amazon and I order that. So I sat down today to watch it for the first time. And since it's three episodes, it's basically just a movie. The first three episodes comprise a movie. So I didn't watch the first episode. I watched the whole thing. So I watched that today. So my first day watching Transformers Animated. And my initial reaction is that this is awesome! I can't believe I haven't seen it until now. I mean, let me put it this way. I'm not sorry that I haven't watched it until now because I really didn't have time. When it was airing, I was going through a bunch of stuff in real life, birth of my child, all kinds of stuff. I wasn't going to have time to watch it. So I'm not sorry that I haven't seen it till now, but I am glad that it's out on DVD and I get to watch it because this looks terrific. This was a really great episode. All I'm doing now is spewing forth my initial excitement. I'm actually going to take a pause and try to write some notes of what I actually got out of the episode. But just my initial off-the-cuff reaction to watching this is, wow. It looks really well done. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the characters. Yeah, so I will be back, which to you will only take a second, but I will be back with some more coherent thoughts after I collect them. But I just finished watching it just now, and wow. I'm back through the magic of editing. Okay, so I'm watching the show again and fast forward to write down my notes. Opening credits. I'm reminiscent of the G1 Season 2 credits with the grid and all. Very cool. Continuity. Whoa, this is in G1 continuity? I had thought that it was separate. That's what I had assumed. Okay. It becomes clear, after they land on Earth 20 minutes into the future, that this is actually not G1 continuity, despite having G1 footage at the beginning of the show. Weird. This Earth has obviously never been visited by Cybertronians before, so the animated universe is apparently a parallel universe to the G1 universe, where the Autobots never reach Earth. And yet, somehow, they prevail anyway. So, that's interesting. We may learn more about that later, I hope. The look of the characters. Now, seeing the toys in the stores, I wasn't really excited by their look. Although I certainly didn't loathe them like I do the Bayformers. They just didn't do that much for me. Actually, what really happened was I couldn't afford to be buying toys, so I convinced myself that I didn't really like the new aesthetic very much. Well, now I like it, now I'll have to buy some animated toys. Happy Hasbro, I've come crawling back. Yes, after watching this first 90-minute movie, I've already gotten over any uncomfortableness with the new design, and I'm used to it, and I like it, and I will now be happy to own toys that look like that. Optimus Prime. Clearly not G1 Optimus. A little harder to get used to his face, being a face and not a mouthplate, but it's alright. No acknowledgement so far that he shares the name of a former Autobot leader. Maybe we'll find out more about that as well. Prowl. One seriously bad ninja bot. Armed with the glaive from Kroll, no less. Then we've got Patrick, Bulkhead. I kind of like the shooting hands at the enemy thing. I had some Japanese toys that did that sort of thing when I was a kid. Bumblebee. I was worried that I'd find him annoying, since he's clearly the character meant to appeal most to kids. But he's pretty cool. He's small, he's not tough, but he's brave, even if he makes jokes about being scared sometimes. Now, the first shot of the Decepticon ship, I just said, oh, sweet Primus. I had read somewhere something that indicated the Decepticons were vastly superior to the Autobots in this series as far as fighting ability. And boy, is that true, from the look of the ship to everything else. Megatron is scary. The other Decepticons, we don't really get a chance to meet much. They're just kind of shoehorned in because it's the start of the series, even though they are never seen again in the first three episodes, with the exception, obviously, of Starscream. Starscream I like a lot. An improvement over G1 Screamer, because he doesn't just whine all the time about taking over. He just does it. So that was nice to see. The fanboy in me, just when they showed the docking tube, I went, ooh, the docking tube from More Than Meets the Eye. Another nice touch. I like all these little nice touches that they're not going crazy with them, but there's just enough of them to appeal to the old fanboys like myself while still being unobtrusive enough for new viewers to not get in the way. So that's awfully nice. So Megatron goes bye-bye. Seeing how much trouble they all have, all the Autobots versus a single Decepticon, makes me wonder how they're going to handle future conflicts in future episodes. Luck and teamwork can only stand against overwhelming brute force for so long, so that'll be interesting to see how that works out. I'm not sure why all the Autobots went into stasis. If it was protect themselves during the crash, it doesn't make sense because Optimus doesn't even enter stasis until after the crash. And then would he set a wake-up alarm? Unless they just keep hitting the snooze button because they all wanted another 6 months of sleep. I don't know. So taking a cue from the Bay movie, Megatron crashes on Earth and is obviously reverse engineered to create lots of great new technologies. Okay, so now we're into what I assume is the second episode. We switch to an Earth viewpoint. We meet the Doc and his kid, who isn't annoying, thankfully, and her robot dog, Sparkplug. Hehe, another nice little touch. His lab creates a horrible nanobot Absorbitron beast thing. And I bet he won't get arrested for endangering the public after it's all over. Hey, what do you know? He doesn't. In another nice touch, the Autobots assume the vehicles are the dominant life forms on the planet. I'm pretty sure we've seen that before. I enjoyed Ratchet, mouthing off to Prime during the battle. You go, old-timer. I'm starting to identify with the oldest Transformers now. I'm not sure what that says. A good line, will I be able to breathe down there? Sure. What's breathe? Eep. The way they got Sari to be friends with the Autobots was really well done. So many times getting the humans and robots together is forced. It's artificial and it breaks the fourth wall, but they did it pretty well here. Quite well, actually. And it looks like we're on to what's probably part three. There's no divisions on my DVD, but I'm just assuming by the way the show goes where the divisions would be if there was credits in the middle. Prowl's getting pooped on by pigeons. Classic. Poop jokes, always funny to me. Starscream is just super cool, taking out all those jets, and then he just takes on all the Autobots without any concern at all. His only mistake is giving them time to come up with a plan. Just keep squishing humans. He doesn't care, and they do. He would win because of that. But we can't have that, so he gives them a bogus time limit, and that makes the rest of the show possible. I kept waiting for it to be revealed that the Allspark they were so busy playing keep away with was just a dummy, a decoy, but I was wrong. They actually really let the real Allspark almost fall into Starscream's hands. So, good one, Autobots. So Optimus Prime dies. Well, we all know how long Prime stay dead, and here we set probably a new record of about 72 seconds. I'm not sure how the whole thing will work in future episodes. Apparently, Sari's key, created by the Allspark, can revive Transformers from the dead or repair any damage. So I guess that means no matter how beat up they get, they're never going to stay dead. That seems like it could be a series-breaking concept, so I wonder if that will get toned down any. I guess we'll see. I was glad to see them clean up all the collateral damage caused in the fight. You don't really see that in most fiction. They end on the climax. They don't show what happens after. So that was kind of nice to see. And then the movie ends with a big dun-dun-dun shot of Megatron's head. Creepy. And that is it. And now for the credits. David Kaye as Optimus, yes. I had heard that, but I didn't realize Corey Burton was Ratchet and Megatron. Spike Witwicky is back. Fantastic. Cree Summer as Black Arachnia, better known as Reyna from the Buzz on Maggie. I think she's done some other voice work as well, I'm not sure. And there we are. That is the first three episodes of Transformers Animated, or the movie known as Transform and Rollout. I'd like to thank Brian Kilby for recommending that I watch this series. I probably wouldn't have bought the DVDs and started watching it at this point if he hadn't vociferously indicated that it was better than Beast Wars. I don't know about that yet because I'm only 3 episodes into it, but it certainly seems excellent. I look forward to the rest. I don't know if I'll be doing reviews of these episodes because maybe nobody cares anymore. I'm obviously behind the times. It may be of interest to listeners as a glimpse into the past, but we'll see how it goes. So this is Turin signing off. Thank you.
Thank you, Turin. Yeah, I thought you would like that. As I told you, I absolutely love Animated, and it is totally worth watching. For those of you, again, who have not watched it, please do pick up the DVDs. If you have to, get it on BitTorrent. It's worth watching.
And the Allspark Almanac.
Oh, yeah. Jim Sorensen's Allspark Almanac. Jim Sorensen and Bill Forrester. Worth every penny. Thank you for mentioning that, Rob. We'll link to that.
Yeah, I can't
show.
Get enough of it.
Oh, it's so awesome. It is so awesome. Okay, I guess we'll go ahead and quickly jump to our interview that we did through the week with Dak Rowland from DakRowland.com. Dak is a longtime Transformers fan and longtime friend, and he talks about a lot of things ranging from his hobby of, and I guess he actually does this on the side, of Transformer repair, as well as some Transformer luminaries such as Vince Nicola, David Kay, and the like. So we'll go ahead and join the Dak Rowland interview. And after that, XV will be talking about the Ice Cream Twins. With us here this week, we have Dak Rowland of DakRowland.com. And what's the other? It's your other website, Dak?
Well, I'm part of a company called EagleZip.com, and we're participating with a website called MyJamestown.net.
Yes. So Dak of DakRowland.com, longtime Transformers fan, used to help out, work with Cold Hard Slag. And did you do anything with RSC back in the day? I mean, directly on the show? I know that we exchanged a lot of emails and such.
No, I didn't actually do anything on the show. I'd always wanted to, but the opportunity never presented itself. So this is actually my virgin performance.
Wow. So, Dak, tell us about yourself.
I am composed primarily of water and carbon. stand approximately six feet tall, sometimes 5'11", depending on if my back is stretched or not. As far as Transformers is concerned, which is probably the most interesting part about my life, I've been a fan since the original show, so I've been with it since the very beginning. I still have pretty much all the toys I had when I was a kid, with the exception of two. I'm sorry, XB Braun. I lost my original Braun. I don't know whatever happened to him, but I did get a replacement. And about, I don't know what happened at some point. You know, growing up, I put the toys away, never really brought them back out again. But when I started working in an internet company, I started discovering all this online stuff, the various early incarnations of different Transformers websites, and it got my interest back into it again. So, of course, I brought them all back out, and I discovered eBay, which is probably the worst thing that could have happened in my life.
Oh, me too.
And, I started realizing, you know, some of my toys are in good shape, but there's a couple that are broken, like my Jazz. Of course, the hood and the cover is always broken on that thing. And I had an extra Optimus Prime with a busted arm that I thought, you know what, I got to be able to fix these things, right? So I started looking around for broken Transformers toys on eBay and started buying a bunch and fixing up a few here and there. And I'd always loved taking apart the Transformers when I was a kid, you know, learning how the mechanics of everything worked. And that interest sort of led me into fixing Transformers. And I kind of started doing a little bit of this stuff on my website a few years back, where I'd actually take pictures of how to do certain things and show how to fix or replace different parts on the Transformers. And one of them, probably the most popular ones, is fixing Mirage, the broken waste on Mirage. And sort of that became the genesis of my real part in the Transformers online fan community, is just fixing stuff and sort of sharing a few of those tips and tricks here and there.
Yeah, Brian knows a lot about broken Mirage.
Yeah, that was my first toy, and he was broken within just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, they didn't make that waste very strong.
So did you have the videos up back then? I don't remember you having videos.
Well, as far as I know, I didn't have a video at the time. Are you talking about the animated music videos?
Like the video project that you've got up on DakRowland.com. back in the day, I used the repair guide. I mean, I used that quite a bit because I was on eBay. I would buy junkers and fix them up. But, you know, on the videos, I was clicking on this. I haven't looked at the video part, and I thought that, oh, there's Andrew Wildman. I remember this. The Hello Iacon Hub. I remember that.
Yep.
That was, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. There was a link on the Iacon Hub chat. As I click on this, and he says hello to Iacon Hub. That's awesome.
Yeah, and actually, that year, my daughter and Vince DiCola's daughter became best buddies. I think that was the second year they'd seen each other. And I was actually going to go have dinner with Vince and his daughter and wife, but apparently they had something else they had to do with the organizers at the time. But he had given me permission to use his music and a podcast idea I had for a while. But I wound up never actually following through with that, but I did use one of his songs in that video.
So I know back in the day you contributed a lot to Cold Hard Slag. How did you get started? How did you first get involved with Cold Hard Slag?
You know, to be honest, I can't even remember.
Probably after the first interview, the first set of interviews we did after the...
I think it had something to do with the 2000 BotCon, and somehow I got associated with you guys through that. It's going to take a little bit for the synapses to reconnect here.
It had to be Heath, though. Heath is a master networker, and I think that we had had the site up, and it seemed like he had found your site, I think.
I think because of my wallpapers that I had created back then. I used to have a ton of wallpapers on the site. I actually just recently put them back on the site.
They're awesome, by the way. I love the wallpaper, so... It's nice that those are back up. But yeah, I think it was somewhere there, and I think you had gotten connected through Heath.
It was an interview you guys sent me about the wallpapers. That's what it was. I probably still have the email somewhere, but I remember that was an interview you guys sent me, and we did the interview, I think, either online. I typed in my answers and sent it back to you guys. And through that, I kind of became involved in the site, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then from there it was like, you know, major contributions. We had a lot of cross contribution, but you were contributing a lot on the Cold Hard Slag side, and contributed a lot to the interviews. And but how did you get into doing the wallpapers? How did that first start?
Boy, you're really taxing my memory on this, aren't you?
I'm trying. I'm really reaching. We're going back.
This is sort of an obsessive compulsive thing for me, but I loved the design of the original Generation 1 boxes and always thought, you know what, that background and that glow and the original character artwork would make a fantastic wallpaper for, you know, my then Windows machines. And I guess I got a hold of a copy of Paint Shop Pro and started messing around to see if I could recreate that look. And also there was a website, I can't remember the guy's name now, but it was for Quake, Transformers Quake.
It was, I know. I can't think of his name, but he linked to us back in the day.
And I was big into Quake back then, and I loved the idea of actually, you know, playing as a Transformers character. And in-game, I guess you could transform into your vehicle mode and do whatever the character could do. And it was sort of this humongous project, but again, obsessive compulsive disorder here. I was fascinated by the fact that this guy had the most perfect looking grid background on his website. And I emailed him one day and I asked him if it was okay if I could steal the purple and the red backgrounds from him. And he said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And I started looking at those backgrounds and thinking, you know what, I bet you I could recreate this and make like the original box art as wallpaper. And of course, there's Botch the Crab, who had all the scans of the box covers with the characters, you know, cropped out and restored. And that right there was pretty much the final piece that everything just kind of came together. And I learned how to create the Transformers logo or the Transformers title using all the various tools in Paint Shop Pro. And I was able to create those wallpapers. And as I went on, everything kind of got better little by little. But that's pretty much how I started all the wallpapers. And then I got lost interest. I don't know why. I just did.
My desktop back then proudly featured a Dak Rowland desktop image. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish you had a 1080p or 1080 version now for my 1920 by 1080 desktop at work.
Keep that in mind, because there's a very likely possibility that I'll be making some new wallpapers in the very near future.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Ooh,
so
excellent.
It's possible.
I don't remember this Godzilla 2000 with Triptychon. I don't remember seeing that one, but I do remember seeing the Ravage with the trees and the sun coming mm-hmm. from behind. I love that.
Yeah, I used to go around a couple of different websites, and I'd find some interesting-looking photographs, and I thought, you know what, this would look pretty good with this character, this would look pretty good with this character. My favorite one that I did, though, was the one with Wheeljack in Chinatown, and just mm-hmm. kind of fitting him in there so it looked like he was actually standing in the middle of the street. And, of course, on the rooftop you have Ravage or Rumble, I can't remember which one of the two. And you also had in further behind Wheeljack, you had, I think, Skids mm-hmm. showing up yeah. there. Because I always loved the Skids toy, so I thought he needed a little bit more appearance. But that was one of my favorite ones, because that actually took the longest
to get it
to look right.
Yeah, that's great.
It'll never be recreated in 1080p, though, I'll tell you that much. That was too much of a pain in the butt back then. I'm not going through that again.
That is really slick. I don't remember that one either, but that's perfect. I mean, you have the height correct. You have Rumble or Frenzy, I guess, depending on your opinion of which is which color up there at
that's
the top.
Rumble, dude.
I think it's Frenzy.
I'm going to kill you.
You have Thundercracker in the back.
We got to bring up this old debate. Is Rumble red or blue?
Rumble is red.
To me, I go with the toy names. So for me, Rumble was red and Frenzy was blue.
Rumble is blue in the cartoon, and he's red in the box, so or on the card.
I believe Ron is not dead. He's only sleeping.
Yes.
Two out of three, right? Because he was red in the comic as well, correct? So
that's yeah. true.
So two out of three. That wins.
The two characters were voiced by Frank Welker in the cartoon anyways, and they sounded the same. So,
yep.
You know, it doesn't really matter.
We sort of touched on this, but what are you currently working on? You're still doing the workbench style repairs, or what do you have coming up as far as things that you're working on and things that you're wanting to do with the site?
Well, one of the things that I'm really hoping to do very shortly, and this is along with the help of my daughter, Kim, who is very skilled as far as video stuff is concerned, is I'd like to start actually videoing the repair process and edit together little to-do videos and how to do various types of repairs. And also to show why some repairs can't be done and a parts replacement is the only way to do this. The most common issues, of course, is the broken smokestacks on Optimus Prime, the broken waste on Mirage. I'd love to do a straight Mirage repair video just to kind of show the whole thing, because it really doesn't take that long to fix him. And other things too, like restickering the Transformers robots and how to clean them properly. And there's even a way to polish the plastic to kind of bring that shine back out and get rid of a lot of the scuffs. But the one test that I've always wanted to find a solution for, and somebody kind of clued me in on another idea here recently, and that is to de-yellow white plastic.
Yeah, that was going around all over the place a little while back.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Well, the process I've just recently heard about, and I have not tested this yet, and I've got tons of yellow parts to try this on, is hydrogen peroxide in a sealed glass jar with the part in it in the sunlight. And I'm like trying to figure out exactly how this is supposed to remove the yellow, because the yellowing is a chemical change of the plastic. So I'm not quite sure how hydrogen peroxide does anything to it, but, okay, I'll try it. I've tried everything. I've tried the denture tablets. I've tried the straight bleach on white plastic. And other than sanding it down to the white underneath, I've really not found a suitable or really viable way to remove the yellow in a plastic. So,
do you think that the toy repair sort of sub-hobby is sort of a thing of the past? I mean, back in the day, people would get toys on eBay, or even before that, they would get them at yard sales, and they would fix them up, or flea markets. But since then, I mean, I don't see as many junkers on eBay as I used to. I mean, do people do this as much as they did 5 or 10 years ago?
I know that me and a few other people I know online do repair transformers. I still go to yard sales and garage sales and flea markets to find, you know, broken toys. But the one issue that I found with a lot of those broken parts lots that are on eBay is that there are some people out there that are bidding outrageous amounts of money for these lots, and they're not really worth that much. That makes it hard for someone like me, who's got a very limited budget, to try to acquire the parts and pieces I need to finish a bunch of the projects I've got laying around. And there are some auctions I've watched that have gone for amounts of money. It's like, are you people that stupid?
Yes, they are.
It just amazes me. Of course, I worked in tech support for over 9 years, so obviously that question is sort of redundant.
What would you say, I mean, as far as like the repairs go, I mean, what would be the investment? Like, you know, let's say that I was interested in getting into it. What would be my investment, and what kind of skill level would be required to start getting into that?
Do you have two opposable thumbs and a screwdriver?
Yes.
Okay, I noticed you stuttered on that answer, though.
I had to think about the screwdriver, but yes, okay. There is one somewhere.
As long as you've got two opposable thumbs and a decent jeweler's screwdriver, then you're good to go. The skill level is not that difficult. We're probably talking, you know, as long as you've ever done anything with a screwdriver and aren't prone to losing small pieces very easily, then you can do a transformers repair. But of course, if I want to kind of keep my business running, it's so difficult. You don't even want to try it yourself. No, you want to send it to Jack Rowland. No.
Right. Shouldn't, if you're a novice, you want to, no. Yeah. So see, this is why I wouldn't, because losing small parts, I'm really good at that. So,
take apart a laptop then.
Yeah, yeah. I've done that tons of times.
Oh, me too. But I mean, if he's going to lose small parts, that's not the project to take on.
Well, yeah. And in that case, you just need to do what like the watch repair and the jewelers do. Get you a nice square of felt and a good desktop to work on, so the stuff can't skid away easy.
Yeah, that's good advice. Mm-hmm. Usually, I just throw everything into a cup.
There you go.
Yeah, that too.
So I like to keep things in sort of an order. As I take them apart, I try to set them out in line, so that way when I go back to reassemble it, I'm actually assembling it from a direction. Some of the smaller screws, I'll usually take a piece of tape and I'll flip it around so the sticky side is up, and I'll actually put the screws on there so they won't roll away.
Yep.
The felt's a good idea. I've never done that before. But as you know, as far as keeping things in order, it's really the best way to do it. The most confusing part for me is when I'm trying to fix one toy and I've got three or four donor bots that I'm tearing apart for finding these pieces to fix the one. I don't like to get those parts mixed together. And there was one day, I can't remember what happened, but you know, I had everything laid out on my workbench, and something, I had to slide it over, and I wound up forgetting I had all these parts laid out, and I slid everything over, and everything was just mixed together.
Mm.
And it just took me like 4 hours to go through and separate all these little tiny parts out. And oh man, I'll tell you, I was livid with myself on that one. But beyond that, as far as you know, having a little bit of skill and opposable thumbs, patience, extremely important, and being brave, because you're taking apart, you know, if we're talking an original vintage toy, you're taking apart a toy that's literally almost 25 years old or more. Mm-hmm. And there is always the very real chance that if you're not careful, if you don't remove that one extra screw, you can wind up stressing and breaking parts. And believe me, I've done that more than a few times.
So if I'm wanting to get started, say, like, let's say this is something I might be interested in doing, what would you recommend as something to sort of cut your teeth on? What would be a good first project?
Well, it's going to depend on what you've got that's broken that you want repaired. My favorite ones, and the first ones I ever took apart was Hook and Jazz. And Jazz is one that if you learn how to take him apart, you pretty much already know how to take apart Prowl and Smokescreen. They're virtually identical. The only difference, of course, is Prowl has the light bar on the top, and Blue Streak too. I forgot about him. And Smokescreen has the different cowl on the front and the spoilers on the back.
So you mentioned your daughter, and I know that I had met her at BotCon 2001. Is she as into Transformers? Is it her thing, or is she into something else now? Or
no, actually, my daughter's kind of grown up and grown out of Transformers, so she still likes it. I mean, I'll pop in the DVDs now and then, and she'll sit down and watch an episode here and there, but she's not into it like she used to be. Her generation is more Beast Wars.
Awesome.
In fact, 2001 was – there's an interesting story there. She had her birthday while we were down there in Raleigh-Durham, and we were going to have dinner in the lobby restaurant that they had there. You remember that? So they had that open-air restaurant. And as we were walking through, I noticed – we got seated. I noticed over in the bar area that Scott McNeil and Gary Chalk were having a drink and talking with a bunch of different fans. So I told Kim to wait, and I got up, and I walked over, and I introduced myself and apologized for interrupting them. I said, well, if you don't mind, my daughter's birthday is today, and she's sitting right over there, and if you wouldn't mind coming over and saying happy birthday to her, you know, just kind of say hi and kind of give her a neat little treat there, we'd really love it. I said, yeah, we'll be right over to say hi in a minute. Okay, cool. So I go and I sit down, and I don't know, about 5-10 minutes later, Gary and Scott come over and start belting out as loud as possible, happy birthday to you, and in song. And my daughter was so embarrassed, she's like slid under the table to hide. But it was fantastic because Gary goes and sits down at the table behind us, and Scott sits next to Kim, and they start talking, and he starts doing all his voices, and she's totally enraptured by this. And ever since then, she's been the biggest Scott McNeil fan. Yeah, she is sitting over there listening to me. But two years later, we see Scott again in Chicago at the first OTFCC. And Scott remembered her, remembered that her birthday was around that point in time. Did he remember your name or your age?
Name.
He remembered her name. And I was floored. I could not believe that he would remember those details like that so clearly. And we wound up, we were in the autograph line. He wound up talking to Kim and I for like 15 minutes while everybody's standing there. I'm thinking, oh my God, I need to get moving here because people are getting pissed at us. But no, nobody did. He was fantastic. We got pictures and everything. It was probably one of the most memorable moments of OTFCC that I can recall.
Yeah, I remember that story and happening at that time, and I always thought that was such a cool story and really really interesting. I think it typified what a great relationship some of the actors have had with the fans and what makes them so cool as they relate to us. But I really thought, yeah, that's a great story. I love that one. I'm glad you told that one.
Yeah, I'm never going to forget that. I'll tell you that. You know, and of course, Gary and all the voice actors have been amazing. I think they're just as surprised at the following that they have with fans as we are with their down-to-earthness, you know, if that's even a word. It's fun to just sit there and talk to these guys and realize, you know, we as fans, we know them pretty much from the shows that we watch that they were on, you know. You can listen to a show and you recognize, oh, that's Frank Welker, that's Michael Bell, that's Greg Berger, you know, and you think, wow, these guys are in Hollywood, you know, they're famous, but they really are only known for their voices and not really known for their faces. And so when you get to meet them in person, you learn this whole new side of them, and that's so much fun. That's why I loved going to the Transformers convention. It wasn't so much for the toys. Okay, it was for the toys, but for meeting the voice actors in person, you know, that was it, BotCon 2001, when they introduced Gary Chalk in the dinner, he stands up, he's got a video camera stuck to his face, and he's videotaping us. I was like, whoa, this is kind of cool. So, that's one of the great things about the conventions. I wish I could afford to go now. It's gotten way too expensive for us to do that. And, of course, economically, my situation and made it much more difficult even than that. So one of these days I'll go back again.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Yep. I want to go back, but 07 was the last time I made it. You know, I shouldn't be sharing this, but I'm going to. I don't think I've ever mentioned this on RFC. My favorite thing that ever happened at a BotCon was at the end, the last Sunday night on BotCon 2005. it was all of my friends and I were standing there, and Brian Savage walked up asking us what we thought about the convention. And, you know, everyone gave their honest opinion and said, you know, it was good. You know, what they mentioned the areas that, you know, of opportunity that they saw. And, you know, I stepped up and I said, Mr. Savage, you really, really need to get Brian Kilby involved in BotCon. Brian Kilby is, like, you know, the most capable individual in the whole fandom. And I really think, and I went on for like 7 or 8 minutes about how awesome Brian Kilby is. And I figure 3 or 4 minutes into it, he had to realize that I was talking about myself. But that was one of my favorite things. And, you know, I was a total jerk that BotCon. I spent the whole week trying to get into a fight and never really happened. And I probably shouldn't have said that. But yay, BotCon.
No, nothing like a little self-promotion there, huh?
Oh, no. I'm the best at that. Dak, we really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you for coming on. Everyone can visit your website at dakroland.com.
That's correct.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Glad to be here.
Okay. Sorry. In the break, I've been... I am going to annoy every single person I know with that. If you can't tell what he's saying, as he's killing viciously the Fallen, he's saying, "Give me your face," which is like the most absurd and awesome thing he possibly could have said. XV, you picked up Mudflap and Skids, the Ice Cream Twins Deluxe, the botched Deluxe toy. Why don't you tell us what you think about that?
They're awful small, you know, in robot mode. Because, you know, it's just the one deluxe vehicle that has to turn into two robots, and they're like sub-scout size. And it's not like a normal scout either, where the complexity kind of goes along with the size you have to work with. These are engineered like two little deluxe toys. It's a problem because there's a lot of little pieces that you have to manipulate, and there's not much space there to do it. On the other hand, them being mostly pink is very hilarious.
What led you to pick these guys up?
They're an ice cream truck.
That's fair.
That's all there was to it. They're an ice cream truck.
For those of you who don't follow me on Twitter, why don't you? yesterday we came up, Tuesday during the commentary, it came to me. Someone has to kit bash the Ice Cream Twins into a short bus, which I think would be perfect. So any guys out there or gals who are into the kit bashing, kit bash those guys. That I think that would be the best thing ever. You could probably sell that on eBay for probably $300 or $400.
Yeah, I tried shopping that idea around, but nobody wanted to take up that project for me.
So
I'm glad you ended that with 100, because at first I was thinking 3. I thought you were just going with 3.
Dude, when the 2007 movie line, Walkie did a minor update to the Bumblebee concept Camaro, added in the lines that were missing, and I think he got like $100 just by basically taking a Sharpie to that toy. So just for doing that, I mean, certainly like a nice, you know, kit bash of the Ice Cream Twins would have to go for something.
Holy crap, I'm going to get some Krylon out and just...
Too late now.
Secret's out.
What a better way to flood the market, though.
Like Battle Unicorn from earlier discussion.
Yeah, you know, I didn't actually ever buy one of those until actually earlier this year.
Through Big Bad Toy Store.
Uh-huh. Because they were down to like $3.
Yeah, totally, totally worth it. He's not a bad toy. And, I mean, like we were saying, Big Bad Toy Store really did a service to the fandom by ordering more of those through Hasbro. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the only time that's happened, isn't it? I mean, I can't think of another chance, you know, that a store has actually taken in buying enough toys from Hasbro to actually initiate another run. Does that happen?
I can't think of another notable time that that's taken place, or at least not that we've ever heard about it.
Maybe the Meister Sunstreaker alternators, where they came back out after being really limited. Or would that even count?
Well, I don't. Where were they available at that point?
Walmart had them by the truckloads, like a year after. Well, Meister. Well, it was about a year after Meister and Trax came. When everyone was blinking, and I think they had Sunstreak or two in the same assortment.
Well,
and those were Audible.
Well, admittedly, any instance like that where a Walmart merchandiser goes in and says, "Hey, we want to have an exclusive toy. What can you do?" Yeah, I guess that would be the same thing. But from an e-retailer, I'm certain that's the only instance. I mean, going back to, you know, Walmart having like the Devastator or whatever he is, Halloween, not Halloween, I'm confusing Halloween for Thanksgiving, three pack. I mean, that's an instance of, you know, Walmart and Hasbro of negotiating a deal to have that toy. So
wait, the what now?
The Thanksgiving, the Black Friday. Was it Devastator from a couple years ago, or Build King, or whatever he was called?
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
It was the yellow landfill, and that was a four pack.
Four. I don't know. I haven't looked at that toy in 4 years.
It's probably still sitting. Sad.
The Thanksgiving Devastator three pack. This is how rumors get started.
Yeah, that's an awesome rumor.
That's an awesome rumor. Go with that. Yeah.
Next roving report. I'm going to find it this Thanksgiving.
Dude, Black Friday Transformer sale. That would be awesome.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man, yeah.
No, we need a field report from Walmart specifically.
Oh, I'll do that. Okay.
There been a Transformers exclusive on Black Friday since then?
Yeah, last year we had the two-pack. We had a couple of two-packs at Walmart.
Right, but those were just normal toys repackaged. That landfill was a unique recolor just for that.
Yeah,
not exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I can't. Thank you, Skillface. I can't really think of anything.
No, I don't think. I don't think they really do that. I mean, I think that was like a really rare, unusual case of like a unique product for Black Friday.
Did although it's not a bad like $10?
Idea. Yeah, although it's not a bad idea.
Okay. Yeah, it was $10, and then 2 months later, $3. Because I stocked up and like used them for favors. Oh, thanks a lot. Hey, here, have this.
I've done that.
Give them out as a tip at a restaurant.
My friend helped me move, and he ended up with like two of them. He was like, "This is great." And I was like, "Yeah, they're exclusive."
Okay.
Well, anyway,
Ice Cream Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one really neat thing I noticed about this, and also kind of sad at the same time, the surface of the toy has little spots that are molded rougher to make it look like it's rusted, but there's no paint over them, so you can hardly see them. It's a really neat idea, and it's just so sad that they ran out of paint operations before they could get at least some of those colored in. It's really good attention to detail right there.
Yeah. Hasbro does have the best designers in the business.
Too bad they don't have the best paint budget in the business.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for being an ice cream truck, I gotta give this pretty much an automatic passing grade. The robot modes are not all that good. Skids, the front half, has quite a bit of articulation, but most of it's useless because parts are getting in the way of each other.
So which part is which?
Skids is the front half, and what's his name? Mudflap is the big boxy rear end.
So,
I'm sure we've all had to deal with those from time to time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the only real problem with the ice cream truck, well, okay, there's a couple problems. First is that in the package, it's split in half, I guess, to drive home the point that it's two robots that turn into one vehicle, and it's pretty hard to get them together the first time because there's a lot of panels on Mudflap that will bend out of the way before it clicks together, and the tabs are just really tight to begin with. In fact, I noticed a little while later there's already some stress marks on the tabs that hold the vehicle mode together, so I'm kind of worried about that. But the other problem is that it goes back to the rust spots, too. It's a little sparsely decorated for an ice cream truck. ReproLabels.com made a set to help decorate it more in line with the movie, which is a lot more realistic for an ice cream truck. And I think that's almost a necessity when getting this toy to add on that label set.
And suck my popsicle.
Yeah, that. But yeah, I mean, just for being an ice cream truck, which we would never get without the movie's money-making engine, you know, I've got to give it an automatic passing grade just for that, even if the toy itself is not all that great. I think if it had been made as a Voyager,
yeah,
it would have come out a lot better. The complexity would be more in line with the scale of the toys, and it'd be a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah, I agree. Just from my initial, you know, cursory evaluation.
Yeah, but would you pay the Voyager price for it, though?
It's an ice cream truck. Yes, I would.
Yeah, that's.
I paid the deluxe price for two characters that I hate because they turn into an ice cream truck.
Well, okay, but I mean, do you think the collecting market in general would pay Voyager price for it?
No, but the collecting market's not buying this.
In general, will pay Voyager price for the Constructicons.
Yeah, I mean, the kids want that. I mean, that's the reason that we have a
toy. Well, and that's what I'm including in that collector market. I mean, the people that are buying this, be it kids or otherwise.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I guarantee you they would.
All right, fair enough. It's just a question.
How Rob, dare you ask that question?
Jeez. I'm like trying to ask a logical, reasonable question here.
But this, so, Rob, you got the ice cream truck, too. What did you think about that?
You know, I was really looking forward to it because, like you said, the ice cream truck, it just looks so great. Mm-hmm. And I actually kind of like Mudflap and Skids. I mean, they're a little annoying, but I had no problem with them.
Their faces make me want to cry.
Yeah, they look like if you guys ever seen Ghoulies, you know, the movie where the little mushroom.
Yeah.
That's what they made me think of. So I always think it's
or
like
Gremlins. Guys.
No, Gremlins are better looking than these guys. Gremlins you want to remember. Ghoulies comes on USA at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know, I was really, really looking forward to it. Like, I had to look for it because apparently I wasn't the only one in my town who was buying them up. And I finally got one, and I opened it up, and I was like, I knew they were going to be small, like maybe basic sized, or I guess it's Scout now, what the hell ever, or about they're about Legend size with another Legend's worth of kibble on top of them.
Yeah, they really are.
And yeah, articulation's great and all because it was coming apart in my hand as I was trying to transform it at the ball joints. Like, I couldn't keep the thing together transforming it. Like, it was, and I baby finger my toys when I transform them. And here it was just coming apart. They're practically a parts former because they just come apart transforming them.
And see, the thing that gets me is that Mudflap doesn't have near as much like kibble to restrict the articulation, but there's a lot less articulation on Mudflap then. And especially the legs are almost useless because of how giant boxy the feet are.
Mudflap, to me, is definitely the stronger of the two.
He is, but he just can't do as much.
Well, it's just fine because at least he doesn't fall apart. Well, as much. But yeah, like you said, if they were a Voyager, they would have been larger, and it probably would have been executed a lot better.
Galvatron.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Just gonna throw that out there.
So the toy gets a pass.
It's okay for the vehicle mode.
Yeah.
I get angry.
I keep seeing it on the shelf, and I keep wanting it, but I just haven't committed myself to buying it yet.
It's not even on the shelf out here. I haven't even seen one.
I have. I see it every time I go to Walmart.
It seems to be really spotty, that wave. You either get a truckload or you'll never see it.
That sucks. Yeah.
The rolling on the floor laughing selection of toys is really weird. Like, you'll have some stores that have a ton of the first two waves and nothing else. And you'll go to a place that has nothing but Rampages. And then you go to a place that has all the new waves, but you know, try to find a Bumblebee. You can't.
So it's kind of like going to a Target or a Walmart and having the selection of a Family Dollar.
Yeah, you literally have to hunt for these stores. Not like animated where every store pretty much had the same thing each month. You really, if you want someone, you're probably going to have to hunt for them, which is kind of fun, I think, but I'm not in the mood to hunt as much as I used to be for a toy.
Yeah, you know, it took me months to even find Ejector.
I lucked up on him. I took him right out of the box on the pallet. when the employee wasn't looking, and I just like walked away.
I have a Yoink. Brand new Walmart, and they have done a great job as far as stocking toys. Not anything else, but as far as Transformers go, I've had no problems or complaints. Okay, I think we said as much as we can or will say about the Ice Cream Twins. Let's go ahead, take a quick break, go to Turin with news from Cybertron, and we'll come back, talk a little bit about Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen, and then wrap this thing up.
Are you indecisive? Just can't tell whether that toy is worth buying? Then you should try It Figures. It Figures uses a secret formula of in-depth toy reviews and high-quality photography to make sure your decision is an informed one. That's It Figures at figurereviews.com. Try it today!
In a startling turn of events this week, Blastoff has resigned from the Combaticons. He has teamed up with Astrotrain to form a new subgroup, the Space Shuttle Super Squad. In his public statement, Blastoff stated, "I have not been happy in the Combaticons. All I ever hear is, what does a space shuttle have to do with combat vehicles? It is very tiresome. The fact is that the most important military fact of this century is that there is no way to repel an attack from outer space. As a space shuttle, all I need do is fly to the asteroid belt, or Earth's moon, grab a 100-ton rock, and drop it on Earth. Earth's gravity does the rest. Its speed at impact will be 11 kilometers per second, resulting in a concussive explosion equivalent to a 2-kiloton atomic bomb. Rather than having nothing to do with combat, all will soon see that a space shuttle is, in fact, the mightiest combat form of all." At this point, Blastoff began laughing maniacally while Astrotrain clapped his hands and whistled, using his train whistle. The new team, dubbed the SS for Space Shuttle, has been approved by Megatron, who is reportedly eagerly drawing up new battle plans that he believes will end the war once and for all. We asked Bruticus to comment on Blastoff's departure. He said, "I am sorry that Blastoff did not get the public respect he deserved and felt he had to leave. We always respected him and our team. I still hold out hope that he might reconsider his decision. I'm not sure how we'll get along without him. I'd give my left arm to have him back." Finally, we asked the Autobots to comment on the new menace of Megatron's SS. Ultra Magnus replied, "I wouldn't exactly call this a new menace. As far as we can tell, Blastoff is a little bit crocked, because he clearly got this idea from an essay by an Earth science fiction writer named Robert A. Heinlein, and I don't think he realizes it was written back in 1950. The modern combination of human and Autobot technology makes vaporizing large meteorites and shielding ground locations from bombardment relatively trivial. But don't quote me on that. We don't want them to know how bad their plan actually is."
Thank you there, Turin. Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen is out on DVD. We have talked about this to death, so I don't want to go too deep into it. Basically, giving my take, it's a flawed movie, which, given its circumstances, is about as good as you could expect. I am thankful that it made quite a bit of cash, because I like Hasbro making money, because Hasbro making money means we get more Transformers. But beyond that, I don't really have a lot to say. What do you guys think about Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen?
It sucks, and I want Skids and Mudflap to die.
I mean, that too.
Next?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I know it's not the best thing ever, but, you know, I still like it. I can't, you know, it's a romp.
It's a romp.
It's an adventure.
It's a romp.
It's a popcorn movie, you know.
Yeah, it's
sure
not Shakespeare.
You know, it's not. Upon watching it Tuesday morning, Monday night, I have a slightly greater appreciation for it. I don't hate it like I did upon the first viewing. That's only the second time I watched the movie. I couldn't bring myself to go see it again. Mm. But I liked it better. I hated it less. But its flaws are still as apparent as ever, and, I mean, a couple of characters I think I may have liked better. And, of course, I more prominently noticed Give Me Your Face.
Where what, you're it? Not going to play it?
No.
Play it. You set it up.
Give me that face, boy.
No. I've played it enough.
So you liked it on the second viewing?
Yes, better than I did the first.
Yeah, that's the way I felt about the first movie, and so I kind of expect that's the way I'm going to feel about this one. There's just something about kind of watching it on your own terms that maybe makes it a little bit more digestible.
And also, I like the the people better. I mean, obviously I watched it with my wife before, but people who actually have an appreciation. Before I watched it with Chris, and I mean, Chris, of course, has a Chris from New Soundwave, and also in the 10th anniversary show. And Chris has, of course, a great appreciation for Transformers, but I also watched it with, you know, Kim's little brother, who thought it was the best movie he ever saw. And, you know, I really can't have a like an intelligent conversation about trans, if such a thing is possible, with him. So, no, watching it with JD, Amanda, and XV was great. I really enjoyed that. But I don't think it's something that I could sit down and watch by myself. Way to go.
That's the final word on Revenge of the Fallen.
Now you do it.
Sorry.
That was my IMAX commentary.
Yeah. So if for the people out there who want to watch the movie with us, download the commentary track. Just go to
that doesn't work with the IMAX version.
And that doesn't work with the IMAX version.
We're sorry. We're sorry. It doesn't work with the IMAX version. Just move forward. It'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll live. You'll live.
I'm not sorry, you IMAX snobs. Yeah.
Actually, have you who here? I mean, all of us, I guess, have watched a movie in IMAX before, correct?
I saw it at an IMAX. Yeah.
I've never been to an IMAX.
It's so. Not that great.
I mean, yeah, it was kind of disappointing, especially for the $17 I paid.
Yeah, you go in expecting something great, unless you're watching like a true 3D movie. Yeah, it's not worth the time or effort. I saw Superman Returns in IMAX, and it...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't think any movie theater could have helped nice. That.
Yeah, that could have.
But rewrite the movie.
But, like, the undersea, like, documentaries and everything I've watched have been great, but actual movies, not so much.
Yeah.
Okay, is that it as far as Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen goes?
It sucks.
Yeah. Okay, so just, I guess, some house cleaning. What is the phrase?
Rhinox farted.
Rhinox farted. Beat the ground with a dead horse. oh.
Wow.
Sorry, I just
pretty
had,
strong to
no,
do that.
No, I'm just quoting Ironhide 1975, who this past week had XV and JD on the show, and we really appreciate that. We think the absolute world of him. He's a great guy. He's helped us out in the past. He was on the show years ago, and we'll have him on next week. So we'll have Ironhide 1975 on the show, and we
apologize to the listeners of T-Formers that you had to hear us both here and there. So
I enjoyed it, yeah. So.
I apologize for nothing.
Yeah, me neither. I belong to nobody. So, wasn't that funny? So, well, sorry.
Come on.
So,
yes, but remember that's JD's purpose. He laughs at your unfunny jokes.
He is our Ed McMahon.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Ah!
Except he's not an alcoholic and he's not dead.
Well,
not yet.
Dead.
Well, he's still living.
Okay, so next week's show, again, we'll have Ironhide 1975. Follow us on Twitter. It's at TF Radio. Go to twitter.com/TF Radio. Again, our website is tfradio.net. Gentlemen, how do we reach you, JD?
Twitter, Unicron Spawn.
John.
Twitter, J Duna.
Robby Rob.
Well, I'll be at Borders this weekend doing a book signing. you guys can reach me at my Twitter account at Rob Springer. And you can also reach me at your local public restroom. I'll probably be in there.
Yeah. So don't you have a new blog?
Oh, yeah. I started a blog. We'll see if I actually keep up with it. What did I call it even?
Where the Wild Thing Is.
Yeah, wildrob.blogspot.com. Not that I'm wild. I just, if you can come up with a name that doesn't require a bunch of damn numbers, go with it, you know?
XV, how do we reach you?
I'm on Twitter at XVRon, or you can catch up with me at figurereviews.com.
Hey, also one thing I wanted to mention. I found today Pat Lee on Twitter. It's twitter.com/PatLeeArt.
Are you sure it's not some imposter?
I'm pretty sure it's Pat Lee. And if you have Google Toolbar installed with the side wiki, check out my side wiki update. God, we are nerds. I just wanted to take a moment to say, again, you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. You know, for me personally, it never ends. Radio Free Cybertron.
Thank you, Furman.
Yes, thank you, Furman. I'll never forget that. We want to make sure that, you know, your listening experience is equal to the enjoyment that we have for doing the show. We love doing the show. We would do it if no one listened. We want to make sure that our opinions are uncompromised and our words are unfiltered. But we want to make sure that you have fun. We want to make sure that we have fun. And the day that we quit having fun doing this, we're going to quit doing it. We appreciate your support for these many years. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the Radio Free Cybertron family, as it were. If you want to support us in any way, go to tfradio.net, click on support. But I'll basically tell you this: link to us. If you're out there, leave reviews on iTunes, but just mostly tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best thing that you can do. We'll appreciate it. Yeah, of course, we've been around 10 years, but we basically started over from scratch coming back in late June. So we're growing at an incredibly fast pace. We thank you for that. Guys, any final words?
Rhinox farted.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show, online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One minute. Robots in the sky.